Right, Royce? No, I don't know what we did. I think I was telling him, well, why don't we sing one of these verses a cappella? And then I think I gave the name of the song you were going to turn to, and then I realized, no, that's not the song we're going to sing. Anyway, so it was my fault. Anyway, thank you for singing. Thank you again for being here and worshiping with us in song. And now in the Word, let's turn to Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 3, we were here last week, and we're going to finish up what we looked at last week about lessons from the lame man. This morning, we'll look at more lessons from the lame man. In Acts, chapter 3, the church has just been established by the coming of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that are taking place, and now the miracle of the healing of the lame man, which gives a platform from which Peter will preach his message of salvation. Repent and believe, as he says in chapter 3, verse 19. Repent and be converted. And all of this is based upon this miracle that we're looking at. But Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That'd be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was their habit, to go pray, Peter and John. They're praying to a risen, ascended Lord now, who hears at the right hand of God. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and or asked for a handout. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting money. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering, or full of amazement, or utterly astounded. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though in by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk?" And then he goes on to talk about this is Christ is doing this, and Christ is who you crucified, and Christ is who you need to believe on. So then we have Peter's great sermon. So lessons from the lame man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on our time together in the Word this morning. Speak to our hearts. Glorify your name. I pray, Lord, we would see Jesus Christ above all. I pray, Lord, I would not get in the way of the cross, in the way of the working of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if I can just be a tool, an instrument that you can use, I pray you will, Lord. But I need this message. I need the admonition as much, maybe more, than anyone else here this morning. So have your way, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness, for your forgiveness. Lord, where would we be if Jesus Christ didn't forgive sins? For we are all sinners, all in need of a Savior. And I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, cleansing me from sin, and giving me victory over sin as I appropriate your grace and your promises to my life day by day. Help me, Lord. Help us all. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, your speech and your countenance says a lot about what's in your heart. When I'm shopping somewhere, the way the manager talks to me in this place of business, maybe, and the way he acts has a lot to do with whether or not I'm inclined to purchase his product. I was in a small business years ago asking about the availability of some used vacuum cleaners and the cost for it. Well, for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I was audience to the owner's speech about how cheap everybody in this town is and how he barely survives the way it is, and that people always want used stuff and he can't make money on used stuff. So he's getting tired of people asking about used stuff. Well, needless to say, I didn't go back asking him anymore about used merchandise, at least for a while. And I wonder what that guy had for breakfast that morning. You and I are attracted to friendly people, to happy business owners. And we are repelled from grumpy, bitter business people, or people in general, right? Some people, they're so happy and enthusiastic and excited about what they're selling, they can sell you anything, and they've sold me anything before. And I go home, or I wake up the next morning, and I get buyer's remorse, and I wonder, what did I just buy, and why did I buy it? That guy was a good salesman, that's why. And he convinced me that I would never be happy unless I bought his product. We tend to be attracted to folks who seem to be happy and satisfied and joyful. At least I am that way. And we want to be around them. And we hope maybe some of what they've got will rub off on us. Are you like that? I'm like that. I like this guy. I like this gal. And I want to spend more time around them because what they've got, I want. On the other hand, some folks seem to just thrive on grumbling and mumbling, and if they cracked a smile, they're thinking it might crack their face or something, and you wonder what you did wrong. You know, what did I do that upset them so much? And I wonder if they didn't have sour milk and burnt toast for their breakfast that morning. Anyway, whatever they've got, you don't want it, and you tend to stay away, right? Well, which are we like? Which one are you like as a believer? I hope we're not like the second group, the grumbling, griping, complaining group, right? Although I have to admit, I'm too often like that. We ought to have a happy testimony. I need a happy testimony. Where others feel that they have to have the salvation that I have, that they have to know the Savior that I know, and follow him as I hope I'm following. In Acts chapter 3, we see a man who indeed had a happy testimony. We can call this guy Happy. That's his nickname. Oh, Happy. He got happy because he got healed. Well, more lessons from the lame man. We see, number one, his helpless condition, back at verses 1 and 2. By the way, the outline is on the back of your bulletin, the outline I've been using. We see his helpless condition. He was so helpless, he had to be carried into the temple where he could beg. He couldn't even get there on his own to beg for money to buy food for another day. And what a picture of sin. What a picture of you and me in our helpless condition as sinners in need of a Savior. Secondly, we saw his hopeful expectation in verses 3, 4, and 5. He was looking to get a handout from them. And sometimes that's the way people are spiritually. They're just hoping something will happen in their life that they can finally be happy. He had a hopeful expectation, a picture of the world hoping for peace, hoping for satisfaction, and never finding it because never looking for it in the Bible, in Christ. Thirdly, we saw his heavenly transformation in verses 6 and 7. And what a picture of salvation. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he got up and he got healed. He was transformed. A heavenly transformation, that's a picture of salvation. When you're saved, it's immediate. The if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And when you came to know Christ, God changed your life, right? If he didn't, then were you really saved? as there'll be a heavenly transformation. And then fifthly, we saw his heartfelt praise in verses 7 and 8. And he leaping and walking, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And that's the way you and I ought to be living, is praising God all the time. Or at least when we're thinking about it, we ought to think about it more often. My tendency is to complain to God. Lord, why I have to go through this and this and this, and I don't like this, and I don't want this, and I find myself complaining instead of praising. We need to turn our worries into prayer and our complaints into praise, don't we? And then fifthly, we see his happy testimony, which we'll look at this morning. His happy testimony, verses 9, 10, and 11. And his testimony is, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms in the temple, and they were filled with amazement, weren't they? His happy testimony. We see three main points under that: its visibility, its effect, and its attention, its attraction, his testimony. By the way, what kind of testimony is yours this morning? What kind of testimony do you have before God and before others? It's important. Primarily before God, but secondarily, our testimony before others is important. So we see the visibility of his testimony. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. They saw it. You couldn't miss it. There was a change in this guy, right? The change and transformation was evident to all, and they saw him. He was visible. First of all, they saw what God had done for him. The change was evident, visible. His life was right out in the open for all to see. In other words, he wasn't a secret Christian. There's too many secret Christians today. Sometimes I'm living like a secret Christian. Well, I don't want to say too much, and they might think I'm crazy. They might think I'm a Christian, and I believe the Bible. So I wouldn't want that to happen. I might have to talk more about the Bible, and then I'll get into trouble, right? So I'll just be a secret Christian. Well, he was not. God is invisible, but his mighty works are visible through you and me. People can't see God, but they can see what God is like by your life. For many people, the only Bible they have to read is you, is your life. How is the reading going in your life? Do your friends and acquaintances know what God has done for you? Do they know? Do they know the blessings you've received recently from reading the Word or from serving the Lord? Are you sharing? Do they know? You see, our faith is to be a very visible faith. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe that's in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, right? Look at 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians, turn over to your right a ways, and we see a great transformation that took place in the believers at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You were examples. Paul is acknowledging that from what he's heard, they were examples. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we don't need to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what mannering of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. In every place, Paul says, your faith is being talked about. The whole world knows about it. You know, I back when Roberta and I were saved, of course, we were, I was 22, she was 21, And we got saved, many of you have heard this many times, 1974. And of course, I especially have been living a life of beer drinking and drugs and cussing, and I was just a mess. And we got saved one night, and our life was changed. And it seemed like half the town knew about it. Of course, our town was composed of 1,300 people, 1,200 or 1,300 people, so it doesn't take much for half the town to know about it. But the word that was spreading around town was Terry and Bert. Did you hear? Terry and Bert got religion. Terry and Bert got religion. Well, we got saved, but to them, we got religious. And then they were warning, be careful, don't go over to their house or they'll talk to you about the Bible. It happened to me, you know. Well, sad to say, that didn't last as long as it should have, but we were excited. There was a transformation took place. And not all have that dramatic of a change as we did, being a little older when we were saved. But anyway, for this lame man, all the people, verse 9, all the people saw him walking. They saw a new life. He was a new man walking. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, Paul says in Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. And Paul says in Romans 6, 4, we also should walk in newness of life. This man now was walking. Before, he couldn't walk. One day you were not walking. Now you're walking if you know Jesus Christ. So they saw what God had done for him. Secondly, they saw what he was doing for God. Verse 9, he was just praising God. Say glory, hallelujah. I've been saved. I've been changed. I can now walk. And no wonder he praised God. He was not ashamed, far from it. He openly, enthusiastically gave credit and glory to God for this great change. Now, the scribes and Pharisees weren't always that way. The religious leaders were a little bit hesitant to give praise to God. We read John 12, 42, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out in the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. How sad that is, and how sad for you and me when we're hesitant to praise God or talk of him openly because we fear what men will think of us, because we want people to think well of us, and we don't want them to think we're a crazy guy or something, gone off the deep end, like Terry and Bert, and you hear they got religion, you know, don't go around there. By the way, it wasn't long after we were saved that we pretty much lost all our friends. We didn't have any friends anymore because all our friends were lost and drinking alcohol, doing drugs. We had to find new friends. We had to start going to church, and that's what we did. So they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What are you doing to bring praise to God? And I hope it's more than the words, praise the Lord. It's a life given over to serving the Lord, loving the Lord, reading his word, praying, talking about him with others. As Paul said in the Thessalonians, how that you turn to God from idols to serve the true and living God. And that's what ought to be characteristic of your life and mine. So, the visibility of his testimony, what God had done for him and what he was doing for God. And letter B, the effect of his testimony. The effect was, verse 10, they knew that it was he. They knew it. There's no doubt about it. They knew this was the lame man. They knew, and they knew this fellow pretty well. He may have been quite a character. They knew his wretched way of life. They knew exactly where you can find him every day. They about tripped over him every time they went into the temple. He was probably a nuisance, a bother. They didn't like it that he was kind of dirtying up the temple, how it looked. You know, old Crip. There's old Crip laying over there again. I wish he'd go away. I wish he'd go away. He's no use to anybody. And now he's a new man. Now what are they going to do? Wow. Sometimes it can be that way in your life and mine. We're nothing, and then God made us something, and we we need to be telling others about that something that God did in our hearts. Now here he is for everybody to see, only this time showing off his wonderful miracle in his life. And they met him where they never expected to meet him, in the temple, praising God, not asking for a handout, on his feet, walking and leaping and praising God, his happy testimony. He never walked before. He never leaped before. Remember, he was over 40 years old, so he'd been crippled for over 40 years, and he never praised God before. But they knew it was he. They knew old Crip. Old Crip, he's got religion now, and that's something. And they were filled with wonder and amazement, verse 10. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened to him. Now, there wasn't much that could amaze the religious leaders of Jesus' day and Peter's day now, as people of the Jewish religion. They were a spiritually dead people who attempted to serve God with a dead religion of works mixed with the vain and empty traditions of men. That's what they based on, tradition. Tradition. That was their religion. Theirs was a very beautiful system and a very proud and stubborn people, very slow to believe what God was trying to show them. Jesus Christ came unto his own, John 1, and verse 12, and his own received him not. The Jewish people rejected him to where they nailed him to a cross. But remember that it was in Jerusalem, to the same people only a few months earlier, that Jesus Christ had performed many miracles, just like this healing of the lame man, just a few months ago. And he had been killed by them, and they thought they were rid of him. They were rid of him for good. And now, here is the very same power of Jesus Christ displayed only through the apostles, through the working of the Holy Spirit, who is God. Who is God? And it was evident. It was a true miracle, a tremendous display of God's power, and it had an effect. And that same power is working in your life and mine today. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, no, we're not going to go around healing lame people, but we can share something greater than that. We can help lame people spiritually come to be healed from their sin by sharing Jesus Christ. Anyway, they were amazed. The world is always amazed at the evidence of new life in Christ. There's a man or a woman, a young person maybe, who just was one of the rest, just one of the crowd, one of the world, always fit right into everything. Spoke their language, drank their alcohol maybe, or whatever else. And then God does the miraculous and saves him or her. And suddenly everything's changed. He's not hanging out at his old hangouts. He can't be found at the bar anymore. He can't be heard to cuss anymore. And someone says they saw him walk into that church with a Bible. With a Bible, can you believe it? He takes a Bible to church. He's walking new paths and praising the living God now. Is that a mark of your life for the Lord? The miracle of salvation is truly intended to provide astonishment. A changed life ought to have an impact among the old friends and the new friends. And many new friends will be yours if you're praising God, and you're going to be finding the right kind of friends. Sometimes we need to be willing to give up the old friends and live that new life. The reason so many Christians' testimony has little effect on the world is there's very little evidence of a changed life. How's your life doing for evidence? If you were accused of being a Christian, as they say, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a believer? They say, well, he talks like the world. He goes to the places of the world. He thinks like the world. His mind is in the world's mold, and he loves the music of the world, and he loves all the things of the world. And that man doesn't seem to consider that if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:17. Well, anyway, the lame man's change was visible. Thus, it had a tremendous effect on those around him. In fact, 5,000 would come to be saved as a result of what happened here in the temple that day. We want to affect people for Christ. We then must have a vibrant and visible life, live daily for the glory and praise of God. Just live for the Lord. Just live for his honor, his glory. Just be praising him, thanking him, glorifying him, rejoicing in him. You ever heard of that? Have joy? Yeah, you have. But are you doing it? Are you rejoicing in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Doesn't Paul talk about joy and rejoice? I think in Philippians, he mentions joy or rejoice some, is it 16 to 20 times or something like that? Anyway, the people wanted to know what had happened to this man in his helpless condition. If you have the joy and peace of Christ, even in the most difficult conditions, people are going to want to know what happened to you. How in the world can that guy and that gal have joy and peace when they're going through this trial? They don't understand it. They don't understand it. Well, this man had a happy testimony. We see its visibility. We see, secondly, its effect. And thirdly, letter C, we see the attraction of his testimony. The attraction of his testimony. Verse 11, And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They ran together because they were greatly wondering. These folks were wondering what happened. They wanted to know more. We want what this guy's got. 40 years he was lame, and now he's whole again? Now he can jump and leap and praise God? They were drawn to him like a magnet, to this changed man, and to other Christians as well. You know, we're like that. Something happens. Something dramatic happens. A tornado hits a town. What do? We get in our car and we want to drive over and see the damage. I remember doing that when the Heston tornado hit many years ago. We said, kids, let's get in the car. We're going to go see what we're hearing about on the news. You know, you want to see that. And there's reason for that. You know, it's amazing. We see cop cars going down the street. And I see two or three cop cars, and we see them often on our street going down. And, man, then I see they're about a block or two blocks away. I head down there. I mean, I got to find out what's going on. My wife says, Terry, wouldn't you just leave it alone? And I go down there and I take pictures. We had a big standoff in our neighborhood one time where the SWAT team, the McPherson SWAT team, had a guy surrounded. They had a big megaphone. They said, come out with your hands up. And they had rifles, guys with rifles stationed around. And I go out on the porch, I'm taking pictures. I thought, boy, the Sentinel's going to love this when I send them these pictures. And then one of the police officers came up to me and said, you know, maybe you ought to go back in your house for my safety, you know. Well, I did, and then I came back out. My porch, I can be out here if I want to. I got to see this. So we're attracted to things that happen like that. So in a positive way, when a man is transformed, there's an attraction about what has happened. Like, again, I go back to Roberta and I when we were saved. Terry and Burke got religion, you know. And there was an attraction from some. I had an unsaved friend. In fact, he was my best man in my wedding. He wrote to me many years later. He was in trouble. He was having marriage problems. And he wrote to me asking me if I could help him. And I thought, praise the Lord. It's been many years. And I wrote back to him and shared my testimony. And it was an opportunity. As far as I know, he didn't get saved from that. But there was I realized, you know, he remembered. He remembered what happened to us when we got saved. And there's maybe there's a real sense of lack. Maybe they want what that guy's got. The layman had gone with Peter and John to prayer, and now they've come back to the beautiful gate, and they made their way in an easterly direction across the outer court of the temple towards Solomon's colonnade. And notice now what the healed man was doing. Notice what he's doing? He was hanging on to believers. He was hanging on. And he said, I'm not going to let go. Good for him. You see, a new believer will do well if he hangs on to believers. That was one of the most important things for Roberta and I after we got saved, is to get with other believers. And right away we started going to a good Bible preaching church. First we had to drive 60 miles to find one, and then we found one 25 miles away. And we got a new family. And we were growing. We started growing. We started listening to J. Vernon McGee through the Bible on the radio every night back there in 1974. A new believer will do well to hang on to believers. And they probably went right back to the spot where he usually sat as a prisoner to his misery. Now, we didn't hear him say, well, I like that old spot over there. I miss it. I think I'll go back to my old way of life. No, he hung on to believers. He was now worshiping with believers. And here comes all the people. And they come running, like I run after police officers or ambulances, you know. They come running for what happened. And nothing like a changed life to draw a crowd. And this man couldn't preach. God didn't call him to preach. He left that to Peter and John. But there was an attraction about him. He was had a magnetic personality all of a sudden. And the attraction was initially to what they could see. The lame man was walking, a changed life. But ultimately, they would be drawn to what they could not see, but by faith. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And that attraction can only come from the preached word, from preaching, sharing, ministering, telling about the word, which is about to begin. Notice verse 12. And Peter saw it, and he answered the people, and you men of Israel, and he starts out. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. And verse 4 of chapter 4, the number who believed was about 5,000 men, plus women and children. Peter will now direct everyone's attention to Christ. All of a sudden, we go from the layman to Christ, away from the layman, away from Peter and John, to Christ. You see, our salvation is not the end. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. For folk to look on us and say, my, what a fine man, what a fine woman. He's a trophy of God's grace. Well, that's fine and well, but what happens to trophies? I've been in people's homes who have bowling trophies. And there might be 35 bowling trophies, and they're way up on a shelf somewhere, and they're all dirty and dusty, and nobody cares anymore about those trophies, you know. He's a trophy. They're put on shelves and admired, and they collect dust. No, we're not just being a trophy. We're to be a light that reveals Jesus Christ. We have a light here, a floodlight that shines on our flag. Last night I was over here and it was dark, and when I left I noticed how brightly that flag, oh glory, looked really nice in that light. And I didn't even see the light. I didn't see the floodlight. All I saw was a light up on the flag. And that's what we're to do. They don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus Christ. Anyway, this whole scene was for one purpose, to reveal the power of Jesus Christ. My life is for one purpose, to glorify God, to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied the presence of Pilate and was determined to let him go. And then other verses that follow. It was to reveal Christ. Christ is glory. In other words, Christ healed this man to glorify his son. And so what do we see here? This man had a happy testimony. I'm saying all that to go back to say this. He had a happy, blessed testimony. It was visible. Thus it had a profound effect. And it attracted people to Christ. Do you have a happy testimony? Are you excited about being a Christian? If you aren't, what happened to it? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? What do you replace it with? Have we replaced it with the things of this life, the things of this world, the things that I can do, or how circumstances are? Or is it Christ? Is your life such that those who know you will want what you have? If I'm living for Christ, it'll happen. It will happen. No, this is not a business where we sell a product. It's a kingdom where we uplift a king and savior. What kind of job are you and I doing? We can do it. I don't care who you are, where you are in your walk with God. Your life can be a light shining for Jesus Christ, a city set on a hill. You and I are called ambassadors for Christ. How are we doing in representing our Savior while living in this life? God help us to shine for Him and have a happy testimony. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for this wonderful passage. There's so much more here that we can talk about, that we can apply. And Lord, help us just to live out the life that You have called us to live based upon who we are, what we have in Jesus Christ. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are now partakers of the divine natures. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because He lives in us, may we live for Him and share Him with others. Help us, Lord, to be a testimony to those around us. Help us to have joy. Give us victory. Some this morning have come and they're discouraged, they're down, they don't know where to turn, they're upset, there are things that have happened that have really been difficult for them. Oh Lord, may they know how much You love them, how much You care for them, that You love them and want to minister to them, and You're touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and You know what we're going through because You've been here and You've suffered more than we can ever imagine. So blessed, Lord, lift up our hearts on high. May we see Christ in His glory. Bless as we close now. We give our hearts to You, Lord. We thank You for what You've done, what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take